Hi, everyone. It's Wheezy from the Horrible Decisions podcast. I wanted to tell you guys what I'm doing to celebrate my Valentine's Day. I'm going to Jolie Beauty Bar. It's an event they're doing called Galentine's Day. No men allowed. Sorry if you want to come and, you know, try to get something happen. It's only for the ladies. But it's basically going to be an event where they're going to be having a bunch of beauty services going on, free wine, female-owned pop-ups. There's going to be like a braid bar. They do some really amazing events. I love coming out there. So you should definitely check it out. It's in the East Village. I'm also going to be giving some dating advice. Honestly, I don't know how well it'll go. I would just say sex advice is pretty much what I could give you. But if you want to have some fun with me, it's going to be going down after work time, 6 to 9 on February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. So if you actually have a beau, you can have time for that. It's at 44 East 1st Street in New York in the East Village. You could take the F train or Bleecker Street to get there. I can't wait to see you guys and let's have some fun. Hi, guys. I guess this is kind of odd. This is a different dynamic. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy B, and we have a special co-host today.
Co-host. A horrible host.
Hello.
Hey, Mandy.
We have Michelle Hope in place of Wheezy for this episode. Wheezy is out of town. Y'all know she be thotting and bopping or whatever. So we have Michelle, and you guys absolutely loved her on our last episode. And for the month of February, what me and Wheezy decided to do is bring on couples. It only makes sense. It's the month of love. Why the fuck not?
Exactly.
So we have a wonderful couple in the building with us today. I wanted to go ahead and maybe catch up with Michelle because she's been fucking rocking since she came onto our last show. So do you want to update our listeners on what's been up with you?
I mean, absolutely. I've been grinding it out.
Grinding.
So I have a book for young women dropping February 20th. You guys can go on Amazon and check it out. It's called A Girl's Guide to Sex Education.
Yes.
And it's like over 100 honest answers to like the burning questions of teens.
Could you add, like, what are a couple of the questions?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes through everything. I'm so mad I forgot to bring you one. But it goes through everything from puberty to hygiene. Like, one of the questions was, why do I have dimples and on my butt and thighs? And my response was, welcome to womanhood, honey.
There you go.
It's called cellulite. And we have to have it. Right,
right.
You know, as women, I think that we are bombarded with images of, you know, touched up girls, touched up women. Even if you're curvy and lovely or thin, and I don't have a lot of curves, but, you know, I still have cellulite. And that's a very normal, natural part of being a woman.
Yeah.
And it's important to our ability to reproduce. So the book is really designed just to be a conversation starter. Parents, if you're going to buy it, you need to read it first, because the book was intended to give young people a language that they can take to their trusted, knowledgeable adults and ask deeper questions, right? Like, I love that I have become some type of youth guru when it comes to sex, but
without having children,
like, mind you. But I think that what it's really about is giving people a language and a normalcy to these kinds of conversations that, especially in our community, we often don't want to talk about. It talks about virginity loss and getting married even. Mm-hmm. So it kind of covers a lot of stuff. So that is coming up. And then also, like I mentioned to you, the DJ Envy, February 19th,
February
live.
19th, yes. Highline Ballroom.
Yes.
I actually let Michelle know I will be in the building. I'll just be coming back from LA, so Jesus Christ, don't get on me if I look a hot mess. But
you could
I'm going to be
a hot mess.
I love you. Thank you. But this is Loudspeaker Production.
Yeah.
Gia and Casey, they have Gia and Envy Casey have a great show.
Yeah.
And they have Michelle as a fucking guest. So it can't be anything but awesome.
Yeah.
I think that how they discuss their relationship on their podcast is amazing.
So
and
real.
I'm sure that you have such great things to
add. Yeah, I mean,
to
this isn't the first time I've worked with them. I'm excited because, one, it's the night before my book drops. Two, it's right after Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Three, you know, they have three daughters. So, like, and they work in hip hop. and the industry. And, you know, there's a lot to unpack there, being minorities and working in entertainment. I mean, look what's going on with the Me Too movement.
Yes.
And so there's going to be a lot we're going to unpack. And I really hope that, you know, podcasts like the one we're doing right now and podcasts like that continue to lead us to deepen our discussion.
Right.
Right. Not only in our communities, but also our neighborhoods and even more importantly, our own dinner tables.
Right.
So we can start unpacking some of this this mysticism around sex and sexuality and kind of reclaim that in what works for us. But let's talk about marriage.
Well, it's so funny because I wanted to get into everything you just said. The last time you was here, Weezy went on her little woke rant. And I actually have one today, and I want to share kind of my distaste. So I was invited to the So Shameless podcast with Tahoe, who at that point I considered a friend. And after listening back to the episode, like my heartbeat is beating fast right now just talking about it. The conversation was about body image. Mm-hmm. And specifically, he's fat shamed a lot with his podcast with Cuddy. And so the conversation had me and Lyris. Lyris is a plus size model who won Project Runway. And as we were talking, there were just some things that as a friend, I, one, felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that when men and women share a friendship, that there's that level of respect that remains there. Mm-hmm. And so as we're talking about body image and as I'm talking about how curvier women are objectified and sexualized even at a very young age. I had hips and butt and thighs, yep. And older men would look at me because those were woman parts to have. You know what I mean? And so as I'm explaining this, he decides to bring up my sexual assault that happened on the train. I'm not going to get into that, but basically I was riding the train home from work. And as anyone who lives in New York knows, rush hour, the trains get packed, and a guy unzipped his pants and had his dick on me.
Oh, wow.
So Tahoe sorry. Knew that this happened to me. He brought it up as a segue into pretty much saying that the podcast that we do here, me talking about sex, me being open about my sexuality, pretty much saying that I should expect this behavior from men. And I tried to sit here and say, listen, that man probably had no idea I had a fucking podcast. And to sit here and know that men are out here thinking that because women like you or women like me or Weezy should expect a certain behavior from men, it really, 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 like, I cried. On the podcast, as y'all know, I probably don't show many emotions when it comes to myself, actually. I really don't, you know, I'm not very emotional, period. And for me to cry and for him not to understand where I was coming from really, really, really put me in a place. And so I posted my thoughts about this online, and I want to read a comment. Y'all know we be reading our motherfucking comments. So I'm going to bring a comment that I posted onto the Horrible Decisions page. This is a listener who wrote under Tahoe's page. He said, at Full Court Pumps, I'm going to have to be honest with you. Let me start by saying I love you and Weezy and listen to your show weekly. You didn't deserve to have some creep treat you like that on the train. However,
dun, dun, dun.
You and Weezy talk about doing ho shit and having rape fantasies and all other kinds of crazy shit that is wild to most people. I understand why Tahoe would think and say what he said. He apologized to you on air as well as in here, and it's like you want to kill dude for having a quick thought or opinion. You have to relax, Ma. Once again, this is a grown man pretty much sitting here saying, I like your show. It's cool and all. But listen, Tahoe was right. You do need to expect this from men. And throwing that however or that but in there just kind of like really, 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 really irked me. And it's something that I feel like a lot of our women listeners, and we have a lot of male listeners, we'll get into our guests and how we even met. But to know that men think that because I discuss kinks or because sex, and you're a sexpert, or even a woman with curves, that we should expect this behavior from men. It's really disgusting. And my advice to this was it needs to start in the home. I think a lot of our young boys, our young guys are not being taught that there are certain things that you should not do There's a certain level of respect you have to have for all women, not just your mom, not just your sister, but any woman that you meet, even in public. Mm-hmm. And I know that you talk with us about young children. And
I mean, again, I think that this it definitely does have to start in the home, but it starts way before that. Like, we're talking about a cultural shift. So I that's one. Two, and first and foremost, I want to apologize, one, for your experience on the train, and two, that you were re-victimized in a public space.
Yeah.
Because what that person doesn't realize they did, one, is deeply rooted in the very rape culture we are all trying to fight with shows like this. Mm-hmm. If you're not aware, rape culture is a society that has normalized sexual assault or victim blaming on women. And that is to shame them and call what happened to them their own fault because of their behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, that is wrong, one. Two, victim blaming is also devaluing your experience. And
And as a friend, you kind of just don't expect to hear that from a friend. It's like, okay, maybe you're talking about it, but to literally sit here and segue from my sexual assault to my podcast and what I do, mm-hmm. I just felt like, this is really how you feel. You really feel like I deserved this in a way, or that I should just expect this in my day-to-day life. And it's just...
The thing is, here is now I'm going to shift. And as frustrated as I'd like to be with the individual that did that to you, I have to be angry at society.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how old that person is.
42.
Okay, so for 42 years of that person's life, we have normalized locker room talk and normalized slut shaming and you know, the virgin and the slut, like the Madonna whore complex, and women of color especially have been marginalized sexually, and that, which we don't have time for and I won't get into, roots back into, you know, a slavery mentality. And even, you know, this Me Too movement and the feminist movement of the 70s, there was often a missing voice, and that was the voice of women of color. So I think that this is, we're in a sexually revolutionary time.
And we don't even realize we're in the middle of history right now.
Totally.
And we're 50 years from now, this is what's going to be talked about in the books, and how women of color stood up not only for the objectification of their bodies, but just the response from other black men.
Yeah.
We're already torn down by, you know, so many different other cultures, and to know that a black man who's supposed to stand next to his black queen and uplift her would sit here and pretty much blame her
But society has taught him that. So I would say to him, do what Tax Stone did. Tax Stone invited me on his podcast to help break down what rape culture really was. Now that's a OG thug. Okay, beloved. free Tax Stone.
But all right,
the fact that he even took the time to engage in that type of dialogue,
which is
speaks volumes.
Well, which is what I believe Tahoe tried to do. But there's a difference when you really want to listen to somebody and learn from them. And there's a difference from when you want to say things for shock value, or say things to let me know that you're not really listening, or to invite me onto your platform and pretty much degrade me for the entire 2 hours. I listened back and it was just very hurtful to listen to. You guys are in the podcast realm, the couple that we have here. And so I'm sure you guys took heed to it and listened. Mm-hmm. If you guys have any thoughts, share. You can share now before we get into introducing y'all.
I'm on wife. Sorry, y'all.
Yes, let the woman go first.
Thank you. I did listen, and I know me and you spoke kind of briefly about it. And I was just saying that I was hurt for you. And, I felt like if I was in that situation, I would have been truly frustrated, embarrassed in some ways, because that's the worst feeling in the world sometimes. It's like to feel like you're going on to some place to help educate, and you end up made to feel like you are at fault for things that happened to you. And that's the first thing I thought of when the whole correlation between your show and what happened to you was made, was, you know, how you don't even know if he listened. Like, he's just a perv, he's just a creep who did that to you. And one, these things do not one doesn't beget the other. It's just because you speak on sexuality or you are more sexually open or than and vocal about it than more most people are, that does not therefore warrant somebody treating you that way ever in life.
And I think all of our listeners, anyone who likes to wear little dresses, any woman who's out here with curves or has a big butt or has, you know, I have triple D breasts, like your cleavage, none of this, you know, makes it to where you should expect a certain behavior from someone. And
it's never, I think the bottom line is understanding that people who have experienced sexual harassment or sexual assault, it's never their fault. It doesn't matter what you've done. And as somebody, I am an advocate of women who've experienced sexual assault. I myself have experienced sexual assault. And it does not matter what the situation is. No means no.
Yep.
100%. And at the and I think to that point, we as women, we have to understand, I don't give a shit.
Hello.
If you was butt naked, pussy out, finna do a double back handspring, triple cow sow on the dick in midair. If you change your mind, you have that fucking right.
There you go.
And men, we have to get to a point that you understand that your erect dick is not a speeding fucking bullet train.
Hello.
And it can stop. Mm-hmm. And if a woman says no, or a woman isn't saying anything at all, y'all gotta check in.
Y'all gotta check out.
like at the end of the day, it's about communicating, and I hope to empower women to understand you have the right to say no at any point.
All the time. Yep.
With any partner. Mm-hmm. Your husband, your lover, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. If you go to a sex kink party, it does not matter. Mm-hmm. Your body is your body. Preach, your voice is your choice. So please speak
preaching,
up.
Don't she?
Yes.
God, I know. Damn. God. She be preaching. I'm so sorry.
No, you're great. You're great. So again, guys, I'm super excited about this episode. And so this is a very special couple. I guess we can kind of mention how we met. This is one of the couples that we met at the Brilliant Idiots live show. Yeah. And if I recall, I actually met about 3-4 couples that night. So I want to recall, TJ listened first.
To Horrible Decisions. Yes.
So this is so funny. This is at the end of the Brilliant Idiots live show. And this couple walks up to me. And Danny was like, my husband wants to take a picture with you. He says he listens to your podcast. And TJ was like, I love everything you do. I'm going to get my wife to listen. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, I believe he made you a listener. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking ever since. I exchanged numbers and I love everything that you guys do. They actually do have their own podcast as well.
Yes.
Lovers Quarrel. And do you want to explain maybe to our listeners what you guys do? And then I want to talk about why y'all are so special.
Okay, so as far as Lover's Quarrel or just everything. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll start with the podcast. We have a show called Lover's Quarrel. We come out, arguably say biweekly. And we basically talk marriage, relationships, sometimes what's going on in the world and how that impacts marriage relationships. We actually had kind of a conversation about the Me Too movement and, you know, expectations of men and women when it comes to sexual interactions of any type. And we talk about what goes on in our lives. We kind of have a quarrel where he and I, sometimes even though we've been together for a long time, we definitely don't see eye to eye on everything.
But that's relationships and that's what happens. But with creating the podcast, it allowed us to spend time together and kind of learn each other all over again, you know, see each other's points and build from there. So originally when we had it, it was called To Be Determined.
And then
We decided Lover's Quarrel much better. I do,
so
too.
So do we.
It makes sense.
Yeah, we rebranded.
We wanted to have a family, so we had our daughter, so we stopped. And then when we came back, we decided that we was going to change the name and change the dynamic. You know, at first, we were trying to do what everyone was doing.
Right.
Everyone was talking about pop culture, whatever, but we was like, let's get back to who we are. Let's talk about
Which
our
is very
relationship,
important.
You know? Mm-hmm. We've been together, what, going on 14?
14 years.
14
so
years.
She's like, I wanted to say that that's why we brought this couple on for this specific episode. We talk a lot about non-monogamy on this show. Mm-hmm. And this couple right here has actually only been with each other. They are high school sweethearts. And so we actually wanted to do an episode where we can cater to our monogamous viewers. Mm-hmm. Because although me and Weezy be out here about that shit, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And don't believe in monogamy, I wanted to definitely cater to our listeners like, well, bitch, I ain't letting my nigga fuck nobody, you know, facts. Nobody else. Yeah. So I definitely wanted to get into that. So what we like to do for every show before we kick it off is do a kink of the week.
I'm excited. Y'all know. I'm ready. So,
look, she ready. Oh, God. Did you bring something? Oh, Lord. Michelle, y'all know she be having her little bag of tricks.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to go ahead and explain it. So the kink of the week for this week is called sounding. Do either of you guys know what sounding is?
I've heard of sounding.
I have not.
It makes sense for the man to know what it is. So sounding is also known as cock stuffing.
I'm still lost.
This is the practice of inserting something into the urethra.
I'm listening.
I didn't know, honestly, when I read this, I was like, wait, men can stick things inside their pee hole? Like,
yes.
And so
besides, like, the little, like, I was about to call it a pap smear. But, like, what? You know when they go to the doctor?
Yes.
And they, but
other than so the process, it usually is done in, like, when people get their urethra, like if they need something cleared from the urethra.
Yeah.
So it's a small metal rod, or it could be a plastic tube that could reach all the way to the bladder. And
he's grabbing my arm.
For some people, this can also, you can reach the prostate from the front. So you can penetrate what you would consider to be the unpenetrable.
So
right?
Yeah, so it says so, that also note that there it is you need necessary equipment.
Yes.
And
you can buy kits online.
You can buy them online. It says that you don't need much experience, but basically it's something that you could look. Our male in here is just shaking his mother like his head. It says that you don't need to have the full kit or even a full sound to start. Do you know about penis plugs?
Yeah. Well, let's go back up.
Look, she reckoned it down. I'm like,
whoa. A little bit.
I mean, this is definitely a very kink space, right? Okay. But for me, because you know me, I always got to bring it back to learning you something. What we really need to focus on is the risk.
Okay. Because there are risks associated.
Yes, absolutely. So studies have been done to look at the type of people who are into this behavior and what type of sexual risk that they have.
Okay.
So studies have found that people who are into this kink tend to have higher risk factors of STIs.
Okay.
Including HIV.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They tend to have multiple partners, some of which they may or may not know. They tend to have partners they don't know. Oftentimes,
this is all associated with the kink?
Specifically the type of kink, like finding somebody who's going to put a catheter in you or is going to put a rod in you. It tends to be people who are also very kinky.
Okay.
Which, now, I'm not saying that people in the kink space are at higher risk. However, you have to understand that the more partners you have, the higher your risk is, even if you're being careful. And with this specific kink, I'm not...
This is like the top of the kink pole.
Yeah. It's not. Well, honey, we ain't even got into scat play, so just not.
Oh, we talked about scat play, but
what about bloodletting? Okay.
I don't even know what that. See, look, she's dropping more.
Come on now.
Wait, we ain't doing a whole lot of kinks now.
So, not today. We will save that for another day. But the biggest thing that you're going to kind of put yourself at risk for is urinary tract infections. Because if you don't have sterile equipment or, you know, let's face it, sometimes your vibrator sleeps under your pillow. Mm-hmm. And you can't just be sticking rods in your penis that ain't sterile.
Right.
You're going to need a lot of lube.
And the same for women, right? I know we talked about sex toys the last time with you. Can those lead to UTIs as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But also, I want to be honest, most of the literature looks at men when it comes to this kink.
Sounding,
however, when it comes to sounding, it can be done with women. Ugh. It's just not as popular, right?
I don't even see that as...
So I think the idea is really the idea of like how like opening your hole
is.
It's also known as, it's spelled M-E-A-T-U-S, meteus. That's the little hole. That's what that's called.
Uh-oh.
But when
you know of anyone that's done this? Funny
but
shit?
If you get a Prince Albert, if you know anybody that has a Prince Albert,
I've heard of that.
That is very similar. Okay. Because
what's a Prince Albert?
It's where you pierce the penis.
Yeah. Ah!
Yes.
My friend was fucking someone that had
and it goes
inside though.
It usually goes in the medius and is pierced that way, so it hangs off. You wouldn't cross sect.
What
you
about the balls that you have in, like, she was fucking someone that had piercings, but they were like balls inside his dick.
Oh, she, like, oh, that's different.
Yeah, yeah,
like, under, like rib implants. For your pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the implants. Yeah, okay, that's a little different. That's not sounding, because that's just going to go under the skin. The skin. Mm-hmm. The Prince Albert actually goes into the medius and you pierce that way. But again, those of you who are into that, super cool. That's I'm all for
we
it
don't
for you.
Shame.
If you like it, I love it. I ain't finna yuck your yum. Mm-hmm. But please be sure you're being safe.
Like,
if
yeah.
you have multiple partners, make sure you're getting tested regularly please.
Yeah.
And understand that if you're not concerned about HIV or STIs, a urinary tract infection might be coming your way.
And that is not
just because
pleasurable.
That's, a urinary tract infection
for,
is like bacteria.
For a lot of men who don't even normally get that, as women, we can get it very easily.
And
basically, it's really awful. Yeah. You pretty much feel like you have to pee all day
all
and you
the
can't
time.
Pee.
And it just, burns. And yeah, it's like, then two drops come out.
Yeah. It's not fucking pleasurable.
I would take a yeast infection.
Over a UTI any motherfucking
day. And before
day.
That, I'd take BV because then I just smell fishy. Right?
Yeah, so it's just
the
not fun.
The pussy problems
it's
we
just
have.
Not fun.
Not going. That was never
the Vagina Diaries.
Yes.
So we're going to get finally into our horrible decision. And of course, I don't think it's horrible that you're monogamous,
yes.
but this is just, you know, the segment of the show. And so for a lot of you that are listening, there's no need for me to break up what monogamy is. But I do want to talk about kind of your relationship. You mm-hmm. guys met in high school.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And you said earlier in the show, you guys have been together for 14 years.
Yes. It'll
in
be
July.
In July, it'll be 14 years. Years since we, like, you know, decided that we go together.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So I was kind of talking to Danny about this because I was like, so have you experienced cheating? And I heard a no. So I'm like, wait, you guys have literally only been, because you guys lost each other's virginity to each other.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you have only been with each other for the last 14 years.
Correct.
Now, to me, a Wheezy, I don't motherfucking see how y'all do it. I don't see how it's possible. Like, I genuinely, and, you know, I started real early. I don't even know the nigga name from now. Like, it's been some motherfucking time. So I wanted to ask kind of the dynamic of this relationship and how you feel like you guys have been able to maintain monogamy throughout the 14 years.
Well, for me, mm-hmm. I'm going to say that I have an older brother. I have older cousins. I kind of seen what they went through.
Okay.
And I didn't want that.
You ain't want it.
I didn't want
what
those
was
issues.
It? What,
just, you know,
what
like
was it that you
trying to
want?
Juggle different women or just having issues with their significant other, so they mess with somebody else. Like, it was just those things that I seen, and I was just like, yeah, I don't want to have to deal with that. And then my parents, they've been together, what, 26 years?
No, longer 20, than that. That's They met
29.
When they were like 18, 19.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I also have that experience seeing that. Okay. But with Danny, it was always clear that if I was, I can only do two things that she'll leave me, mm-hmm. and that's cheat or beat.
Yeah.
So if I cheat on her,
great motto.
Very great motto.
Or if I beat on her, then she's leaving.
And you've made that clear from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. I was like, those are my deal breakers. Everything else, I'm like, you know, we could pretty much probably, you know, work through, address something, but I don't.
What was your upbringing that you were able to tell him, like, listen, this is what it is? And, you know, because I feel like we talk about this often. It has a lot. Like, I grew up in a single parent household. Mm-hmm. I've seen my mom and my dad both have multiple partners growing up. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe that's my mindset, that this is normal. But for you to see your parents together, and then what was your bringing to make this seem like, you know?
So my parents were married for 22 something years before they got divorced.
Okay.
And then, so, like, they didn't separate until I was in college. But I come from a family full of women who are strong, opinionated, intelligent, beautiful, all these things. And so it was never about taking shit from a man, ever. And, like,
okay.
I have an older sister as well. And, you know, and my sister's father and my mom didn't work out. And, you know, and my mom was a single mother with my sister for up until my dad came along. And, you know, my mom definitely still had that mentality of, like, you know, you don't take shit from anybody and you don't tolerate disrespect or anything of the sort. So, and I was honestly, like, I was encouraged to, like, not necessarily, like, be have a kink of the week, have like be kinky or not right. kink shaming me either, but just like they definitely encouraged me to like date, to get out there, because you
to
know
go through your whole phase.
Yes, to go
pretty
through
much
my, yes, because I tell them all the time, I'm like, you took all my thought in years. So I was like, so we're here, we're in this forever. I was like, you took my best years, and
I mean, you're still young.
I know, but still, like,
right?
You know, we talking
Michelle
about society.
You're like, wait, you can have a thought phase at any time of
you're
your
right,
life.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's better as you get older. Yes. As a matter of fact,
you know what? That goes to that whole like the societal norms that kind of always were impressed upon me. So basically, though, I'm losing my train of thought. But basically, I come from a family where they encouraged me to date. I met him, and you know, he was so different. Like I didn't expect to date a guy who was like so very sure about how he felt about me. I was like, oh, it's my first little boyfriend, whatever. You know, get my little feet wet in the dating pool. And he was like, you're it. I was like, I'm good. And there were times where like it made me scared. Like I was like, sir, you are very like, we're 17. Like, what are you talking about? But I kind of was just like, you know what? I'm gonna ride this thing till the wheels fall off and see what happens. And like, they just haven't fallen off.
Now, for both of you, have either of you reached a point where maybe you wanted to see what else was out there? And if you guys did, kind of, how did you guys bring it back to this is who I want to be with?
I wouldn't say that I wanted to see. Now, see, with having the older brother and the cousins, you get to hear the stories.
Right.
So, you know, I can live through them. So... But for me, one thing as I got older and you know, when we got married, we started speaking to other married people, one thing to always say is like, could you imagine somebody else pleasuring your significant other?
Right. We talk about non-monogamy them, all the time.
Or pleasuring them better than you can.
Right.
And they said, if you can't, then there's no reason to like leave or cheat or anything like that. So that's one of the things that kind of stuck with me.
I think also, too, we might be non-monogamous, or that's what you and Weezy might subscribe to. You know, who knows what I subscribe to. But I think that for me, yeah, I study human sexual behavior.
Right.
But sometimes that doesn't involve touching or sex.
Or sex, mm-hmm. right.
Penis, vagina, penetration sex mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. You know, sex, and I've said this a billion times, I'll say it again, from the womb to the tomb, honey, sex is going to be a part of your life.
Yeah. Right.
But as we age and as we go through different spaces in our life, that looks very different. And mm-hmm. that looks...
And we look for more than just sex.
Yes. Yeah. It becomes different and you become turned on and you become intimately satisfied
mm-hmm.
in very different ways. So mm-hmm. I think it's so... Honestly, I was on another radio show and a guy just called in. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm getting married in a month and my wife and I are virgins. And then you called me that day and was like, I want you to come on with these people.
Yeah.
And I was like, perfect.
It's also something. So I also wanted to talk about me and Danny had a conversation when I was talking about my surgery. Mm-hmm. And you sent me a picture from her wedding day. And since the wedding day, she's put on weight, as most women do, with kids, with stress, with life, with age.
With love.
With love.
They love pounds.
Yes. Yes.
And so just us, we both talked about just our body image, and we've gotten a lot of letters from men and women about shifting with their body image and pleasing their partner or not feeling as confident in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you were able to notice? And if so, how did you guys talk through this when it came to, you know, just... change.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this so that way he has the go ahead to say his part. I definitely would have confidence issues, like as I, you know, put on the weight and, you know, not feeling at, not wanting to be intimate as often because I have my own insecurities and I don't like how things look on me. And then, you know, consequently, he would end up kind of missing out because of it. So I'll let you go from there.
I mean, for me, it didn't matter.
Okay.
Because, like I've always told her, you know, I'm going to love you at your biggest, at your smallest. It's just,
aww.
I'm with her. So, you know, I mean, you go through that. I think watching her pregnant definitely changed my mind looking at all women.
And how was that?
Because seeing her body go through what it went through, seeing her sacrifice that, it made me just say, like, you know what? Oh, you know, there's other women out here. You know, we grew up in a society that everyone's supposed to be a certain way. They're supposed to look a certain way, act a certain way. They're supposed to be like the most beautifulest with the smallest body, mm-hmm. and that's not how it really is. But seeing that is, it was just like, wow, like women can do it all. Like they can literally do it all. And for me, the fact that she sacrificed her body to make me a father, it was just like, how whack of it would it be of me to be like, I'm not attracted to you no more because you gain weight. Like,
right.
You know, you gain weight, we'll, you know, we'll get through it together at the end of the day. But seeing that sacrifice made me realize that it was bigger things than the body. So, I mean, she's still who she is. So.
I know that's right. Look at
me. I'm over here with the emoji face with the little hard eyes coming out. Like,
oh, so I am constantly on Twitter. I'm mm-hmm. constantly on social media. And I read a lot. It seems like people think of monogamy as a relationship where you kind of fight to know that that's who loves you more than actually enjoying the relationship. And I say that to say there's a lot of people, and there was actually just a female who wrote us about snooping and looking for things to make it. Look, everybody in the room rolled their eyes. Yeah. But I think it's a huge thing because when you're in a monogamous relationship, you're not cheating. You're not supposed to be having other partners. You're not supposed to be doing all of these things. Mm-hmm. And yet, because we grow up in this society where we do, where people are cheating, people are having babies on each other, a lot of women feel the need to snoop, mm-hmm. to try to find their man and doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. I guess I would like for you to share with our listeners how you keep from doing that, or if you have, what went through your mind. Look, TJ, yeah, TJ, like, I want to know if you have done this. Yeah, no,
you know what? I haven't. Like, I really,
Have you had friends that have?
That's because I've got plenty of friends who went through they niggas' phone and were like, and then they, you know, I get the text messages like, Danny, oh my God. And I was like, you know, when you go looking for something, you find it, you tend to find it. And
you've been with him for 14 years and you've never snooped?
Like, looking through his, like, no, for I what? Mean,
he, I mean, she has all my passwords.
Oh, you a good one.
Yeah,
like, you a good one.
Yeah, like, it's just not. We talked about that. Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
For us,
yes,
and for me specifically, I think that the reason why this works and the reason why this came to be is because I think in my heart of hearts, I've just never been one for the games and never mm-hmm. been one for the stress. I'm not a person who likes to argue. I'm not a person who likes to be wrapped up in drama. I don't mm-hmm. thrive on it. So for whatever reason, whoever you believe in brought me and him together and have us still together, it must be because that's what I needed. And as far as snooping, I have no reason to snoop because he doesn't give me one. There's never been anything that, unless he's the best at hiding something, but there's never been a reason.
ain't the best.
And so he wears his heart on his sleeve. He tells everything. But
he's just a bad liar, yeah. basically.
And okay. So there's just never been a reason for me to even think to be like, like, what's he doing? And then go from there.
And I think that's also probably a reason why you guys have been able to stay together for so long. Mm-hmm. I feel like when people get into relationships and they're looking for mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. bad things, or they're snooping through the phone, the emails, you're searching for something. So it's like, how happy are you? Mm-hmm. What do you need from this partner to prove that he loves you? Hold on. You look like you're ready
for
something.
To say.
She got something for us. Michelle, go ahead. What you got to say about the snooping topic?
Okay. I have a couple things to say.
Okay.
So first and foremost, if you feel like you have to snoop, it's time for you to get out of that relationship.
I agree.
That's one. Two, snooping and things like that, that is the basis and start of unhealthy relationships.
You're not trusting mm-hmm. each other.
Not trusting. And I think that you have to reevaluate. People that snoop, I had a friend for a long time
Share
who
the story,
always
girl.
Got in relationships that was drama filled. And even myself, I have had to recently do some reflection on my experiences in relationship and how abusive some of the relationships I've been in. And maybe they didn't come with physical abuse, but it came with emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. Yep. And things like snooping is rooted in that kind of control mm-hmm. and jealousy, all of which would be on a power and control wheels mm-hmm. telling you your relationship is shitty mm-hmm. or that, wait, not shitty, but probably not the healthiest. Mm-hmm. So I always say first relationship starts with self, mm-hmm. and you have to evaluate that. And you also need to look at the history of your relationships. I'm sitting with mm-hmm. two people mm-hmm. who had experience with long-term relationships, mm-hmm. and they saw people role modeling the behavior that to get to a to successful yeah. relationship. And then because, you know, I although I am a woman of all things, mm-hmm. Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, love is patient, love is kind. Mm-hmm. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Mm-hmm. Yes. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It Boom. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. So how in the world are you going to tell somebody you love them
yep.
and then go through their cell phone? Mm-hmm. Like that to me doesn't make sense. And then I think we have to ask ourselves, well, hold on, Booski, how much do you love yourself mm-hmm, if right. you got a snoop yep. on your partner? And I mean that for both men and women.
Yeah.
I've never been a snooper.
Me and neither.
The one time I was.
I snooped one time and I did
and
find
I learned
some
my
shit.
Lesson.
I, listen,
but,
I you know,
but then again, I was like, oh, Lord, don't let them snoop on me. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying right. I'm the end all or be all, but what you guys have, like, I,
right, we're little,
yeah, and we like, and we always and we get that and we I always like I appreciate it, but I always try to impress upon people is like don't like ever put us on some not to say y'all are but don't like people have tried to like put us on a pedestal about what we are what they like oh that's so great yeah. so I wish I could have that and we always like really like we've gone through it we've come
tough.
To some crossroads before when we were dating about how we want to proceed with each other it's been tough we've said. Hurtful, horrible things to each other,
right.
you know, but we've come back to it, and it's just like, and I think, you know, nowadays, yeah, we might be more like the exception than the rule, but that's just, this is just our.
I was going to say, I love this, because if you ask me, all niggas cheat.
No.
I know, but you're sitting here telling me you haven't, you're sitting here nope. telling me that you don't snoop, and a lot of men would assume all women are snoopers, mm-hmm. and so for me to sit here and see that monogamy does work in 2018. This is something to where, you know, as I said, we talk about so many non-monogamous relationships, mm-hmm. polyamory, open relationships, swinging, yeah. and we discuss so many of this. We just had a person come on here who, Tyomi, she talked about free love.
Yeah.
And she literally, you know, went into saying, and her partner said that there's no love above any other love, that we can love all the same. And yeah. to me, you guys went in front of the Lord, went in front of someone mm-hmm. and vowed to be together. And so clearly this bond right here and the love that you guys have for each other are different than the love that yeah. y'all may have for yeah. a friend yeah. or a homegirl.
See,
or, you know.
Danny was different in the sense that she allowed me to be myself. I never had to change who I was. Mm. I never had to worry about it. It was never like I had to say, I'm lying to go out with chill my friends because she didn't like my friends. She knew who my okay. friends were, and she knew that my friends, some of them were dogs, but she trusted me. You mm-hmm. know, I'm allowed to go to the strip club with her, without her. So the fact that she trusts me, like I went to Toronto for All-Star
weekend.
And she
yep,
had
I'm
no
going in 2 weeks. LA.
She had no issues. And everybody was just like, how did you pull that off? And it's just like, this is our relationship. Like,
and it's also
so many people have that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I encourage. I'm like, go.
Yeah.
Be with your friends. Like,
go.
Like see, Tupac said, you can run the streets with your thug. I'll be waiting for you. Sorry. I had to.
No. I think what you're saying is so right. And I think when people do get into these relationships, it's a, you're mine. You can only do what I want you to do. Don't do this. No. Don't do that.
Red flag. Run.
And the one thing that I did like about what Tyomi mentioned was feeling the possessiveness mm-hmm. when you commit to monogamy. You're looking at me crazy. I did because I don't think that if you're going to get into a relationship with someone, you should feel like they're your property.
But the idea of saying when you're in monogamous relationship, possessiveness sounds crazy
it
to
does.
Me.
It does.
I am a person and I feel like both of you with the either you, if you cheat or beat, you out the door.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm the type of person, honey, you are a beautiful bird in my life, and the cage door is always open. Mm-hmm. This is
yeah.
a bird cage of love, mm-hmm. and when you don't feel that love, please fly free.
I like that.
Maybe why I'm single. But, you know, I got some repairs to do on the cage, but still, I think, like, mm-hmm. it's true. Like, possessiveness in relationships, red flag for an mm-hmm. abusive relationship. I honestly think that we have been indoctrinated to believe that we're in healthy relationships when really we're in abusive relationships.
Absolutely.
Our society has truly normalized
We attach jealousy, abuse, all of these things with to love.
Yeah. It's
and
crazy.
It's like, it's crazy because love should not mean he beating your ass. Love should not mean
you're a psycho.
God, he's stalking me.
Girl.
He loved me.
Exactly.
Those things shouldn't be associated with each other.
But that's my friend that I was started this whole thing with. Jesus. She said, girl, if there ain't no drama, it ain't no love. I was like,
what?
Bitch, you are crazy.
Lies, you tell. Yeah.
You
lies.
Is, and, what? And she always has
drama.
Some drama. And what's super crazy about it is that her last relationship before the one that she's in now escalated to a point where she got arrested because he violated a restraining order, and he showed up somewhere and she had a pistol and she shot at him, missed him, and the judge let it clear because he was like, he was a very large man, and I don't want to give out any other details because it would tell the story, but she honestly felt like her life was in danger, and it was. So the charges were dropped on her, but still to have to go
feel like
through
that's
that.
That's
insane.
Yes.
You should never be scared of the person you love. You should never be in fear of the person you love, and you should never feel like, you know, like drama, hard times, good times happen, but it should not be the basis of your relationship.
The norm.
Something else that you said that really, really resonated with me. You said that you could be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And and to me, that's the number one thing. Even when I'm around somebody who, you know, may or may not become my boyfriend, knowing that I can genuinely be myself. I was listening to The Read, and they had quite a listener letter that came on. Apparently, the girl had been a prostitute years before she got
a sex worker.
That was her term.
Oh, it was her
in the letter.
Yes, it was her term.
I'll take that. She was a sex worker.
She was a sex worker prior to getting into this relationship, and I believe they were about to get married.
Yeah, she was about to marry somebody. She kind of like put a bug in his ear, like,
I got something to tell you.
And now he's pressing her.
Now she's just like, is this something that I should tell him? Because is it something that he'll leave me for? And so when you sat here and said, I could just be myself, I feel like anybody who you want to engage with or want to fulfill a relationship or love and be with someone for long term, I think it's important that they know who you are and what
honest.
You've done and the growth that you've been through and how you want to continue growth. What is your thought on that?
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how long they've done been together. Did it say in the letter?
5 years.
Okay,
guess what?
She remembered the details.
And the context of it was that she was in an abusive relationship and her
it was a pimp.
He pimped her out. He was abusing her and forcing her to have sex for money
To fulfill his lifestyle.
Well,
so, even more not her fault.
Right.
Like,
totally not her fault.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to say this.
Okay. I'm
honey,
listening.
That's not a bomb you drop 5 years after being with somebody.
I agree.
And I'm not slut shaming.
They gave very good advice about it.
They did.
I'm not slut shaming. I'm not victim blaming because I'm broken hearted for the predicament that she is in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to that, it is my hope that she has gone through some counseling because the layers of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, The Read, but let's face it. She needs professional help.
Absolutely.
And
it would,
I don't know what's going to happen with her story, but it would break my heart if he left her.
Mm-hmm.
However,
and that's her concern.
And that's what they encouraged. They said, like, if you haven't already gotten help on your own, they were like, you should. And then, like, or if you're, fiance obviously has to grapple with this bomb being dropped that they can seek counseling together as well to work through it. So it's
they need both. She
needs
her own.
On her own and together.
And they need
because
together.
I think it's important for a lot of men to know. Of course, there's a lot of slut shaming going on. The whole fucking conversation about body count.
That's society, though.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying with the society and what they bring. I think it's important for men to start looking at women as human beings and not objects or ruined things because they've damaged goods.
But I feel like as you get older, at least for me, I can only speak for myself.
And mind you, I do want to talk about because you keep saying older. I was like, you 30, 29?
I'll be 30. So.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So no, I want y'all to
know
this
isn't
when I say that,
this
though.
This isn't a couple that's in their 60s. Like, you guys are our listeners'
my
ages.
My ideas, though, have changed.
Okay.
I've been one who you know, you and your friends talk and she has bodies. You don't wife her because she has bodies. But as I'm older, I'm like, people go through things. I don't know what she went through in her life that she had a whole bunch of bodies. But if I like her and this is who I want to be with, and I'm going to be with, like, I don't care about that. But society tells us we're not supposed to.
It's crazy because as women, we're not supposed to care how many
women
a man has
slept with. Most of the time, y'all don't.
We don't at all. Yeah. I don't. It's a man could have been with 1,000 women, literally 8,000 women before being with me. As long as he's clean and he ain't got the Fetty Wap type of baby mamas, I ain't, you know, I'm cool.
We were talking about that the other day, how, like, the society difference is, like, women are allowed to, not allowed to, but women more are more accepting, whereas gentlemen, whereas men are more like, nah, like, We're looking for things so that society can say it's okay. Like, we're looking for society to be like, yep, this is okay for us to date this person or like this person. You know, I have so many friends who've said they wouldn't mess with someone with a child. And my thing is, you know, why?
I personally just wish men would start thinking about their dicks in the sense of a car.
There you go.
If your dick was a Bugatti, would you, not even the mileage, but if your dick was a Bugatti, would you park it in every parking garage? Would you pull up to every valet? If it was a janky ass valet, they ain't got on no uniforms, but they got on orange vests. Would you let that motherfucker drive your Bugatti? Probably not.
Right. Yes.
And I think that if men started, like, men, start respecting your dick.
There you go.
Like, your dick
but
is
that
special.
Also, that also starts back from childhood.
Absolutely.
They want, men are the men when they sleep with as many women and they bag this shorty and do this. As far as women, we are taught to protect.
Yeah, but that's why we in a sexual revolution
that
right
we are
now.
Right now.
And we're doing podcasts like this.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to what Michelle was saying earlier. You know, it starts at the home.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, my mother taught me about sex.
Right.
We had that conversation, and, you know, me and my father didn't talk about it, but my father also would have never condoned me having a whole bunch of women or anything like that. So that was my upbringing. I can't say that for everybody else, but it definitely starts at home.
Right. I definitely think
on what you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things that my sister, you know, when I first started dating him, and because she was trying to prepare me for what was, or maybe could have been likely as far as when you're dating, when you're a teenager with boys cheating and all that stuff, you know, She told me, she was like, look, she was like, for some boys, she was like, pussy is pussy is pussy is pussy. So don't, you know, just, she was trying to prepare me for what she thought could be the case. And so, and I think that kind of lends to what you said, which is that, you know, you guys are, because the body count stigma isn't associated with them, they can't, they have this, like, go ahead to run through however many women, no matter how, you know, questionable her coochie might be, and so
questionable the experience was.
Yes,
there you go.
So, but whereas, like, women are, like you said, taught to, like, you have to protect, you have to, you know, and so that's why, like, these things are taught to people who are young. And I mean, and I took heed to it, absolutely, because that the only I had no experience, so the only thing I could do was go off of what everyone else was telling me, and so I did prepare myself for that. It wasn't my own personal experience, but it absolutely has been the experience of so many people I'm friends with, that and people in my family, things like that. So
now we may have listeners who have been in similar relationships like you. I have a question as to how do you guys keep it spicy? How do you guys keep the love intimate? How do you guys keep it to where it's exciting? Do you guys have any secrets to that?
You know, full transparency, I think it kind of, like, it ebbs and flows.
Okay. she loved that answer.
The truth.
Yes.
There you
finally.
Go.
Because we have our, you know, our, we. I mean, obviously, listen, I'm a human. I have needs and I have feelings, and so does he. So if it didn't feel good, it'd be really, really bad. Like, it'd be, you know, if that part wasn't, you know, because that was, you know, right before we got married, and, you know, people would ask me, like, are you okay with having the same dick the rest of your life? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'm like, and, you know, they were like, are you, like, nobody else? And I was like, I can't miss what I don't know, you know.
Oh.
And that's my experience. So saying that to say, we keep it as spicy as we can, but yeah, we have moments, you know, periods of where it's like can't keep our hands off each other, and then we have periods where it's like good night, and then you know, we roll over and we, you know, and then especially now, if you add in parenthood.
Yeah.
This, it's been 10 months of that beautiful little girl, but we'd be lying if it said, like, oh, we're getting it in. You know, once those 6 weeks were up, we were back at it. But it's, mm-hmm. it is, you know, for me, I've always, and this has sometimes been a point of contention for us, but, you know, for me, it's kind of like, I think I accept that it ebbs and flows a little bit more than maybe you do sometimes. But he also is right. Like, you know, we still want to be, he still wants to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
Like, you just want to feel close to me. Like, you want to, and so I have to understand that too.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's my take on it.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I think it's more, you know, since having our daughter, it's definitely been different. So I understand her being tired, but sometimes you can still say, babe, I got you. I got you. You know what? It's been a while, but I got you. But that's the growing thing, you know?
Yep.
And,
as an adult.
And that's how we're able to work. Some days, sometimes it's we're going crazy. Sometimes it's not as crazy, but we're working on it. We are able to have that communication and be able to keep it going, you know? And
I like that.
And we're okay with, you know, I mean, we look up stuff and read stuff and, you know, just different things like that. So I think listening to this podcast, it kind of makes you a little bit.
It forces the conversation. Yeah. It does. Yeah. So that's good.
That's what we hope to do.
I want to know, different things turn you on now that then turned you on
14 years ago?
Yeah. Like, you know. I'll give you an example. Like, mm-hmm. I once dated someone. Sex was me. But, like, you know, when I would come home from a long day and there was, like, a 5-pound bag of Totino's pizza rolls in the freezer, I got a little, like, my panties got a little wet.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, I told that person to order new pillows, and then I see a box of pillows. Oh, shit.
See, that's like, the talk about, like, the love language thing.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
For me, you know, when I was 17, it was just the fact that, like, this is, like, new and shiny.
Right. We
like
got excited. Sex, we got excited about head back then. Exactly. I was just like, I need a little bit more than head.
Yeah. So for me, it was having sex, period, was like the turn on. And and you know, we were young and, like, I wasn't, you know, supposed to be over his house. So it was kind of like that sneaky thing, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes of, like, trying to hurry up and do it and then, mm-hmm. you know, go home and do some homework. And then now it is like you took, like, with the love languages, for me, it's like, oh, he put the dishes in the dishwasher?
Oh, girl, he finna get it tonight.
Exactly. Like, yep. Oh, my goodness. He gave the baby a bath. Thank God. Like,
yeah.
Like, and it's those little things, mm-hmm. for me that when you do things to make my life easier, mm-hmm. it shows me it's beyond just the dishes. It's beyond just giving the baby a bath. It's showing me that you see I have a lot going on and you care to take things off my plate. That shows you care enough about me to make time out of your day to do something for me, even if it's, and it could be the smallest things, but those things, you know, make me more excited, right. Because it's just like I feel cared for, and so therefore I would like to show I care for him. So,
oh, look, he's like, yep.
Gotta take down
these
notes.
I'm having all the love and feelings.
Yeah, right. I was trying to bring
I'm
the
like,
love.
I need a boyfriend. Like,
see, when you get into that, hopefully, like when you get that, when that day comes in, then we have a resource. You can bounce.
She's young.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she
Y'all
is.
Gotta stop saying that. I'm grown as fuck.
Nah. I mean, you grown, but
I'm 27.
Okay.
I'm almost 30.
Yeah, that prefrontal cortex just crystallized.
I am 30, so like,
and I'm older than all y'all mud truckers.
It's crazy because I wish that we had more time. And I wanted to let you guys know that Danny has actually been somebody that I've spoken to off this show. She be checking me, y'all. Y'all might think that I just be on here reckless. So I've openly discussed having relations with married men.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that Danny hit my line. Like, listen, girl, you know I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to understand where your mind is. And she literally sat there and talked to me as a wife and was like, I couldn't imagine. I mean, she was funny. She was like, I hope TJ never make that much money to where I gotta feel like he paying a bitch.
Exactly.
But
it can't be sugar daddy status.
Right. No sugar daddy status for nobody. But we had this open dialogue to where she literally, I don't know, do you remember any of the questions that you asked me?
I remember asking. I remember being like, well, how do you know that they're telling? Because I know you said that. You operate under, you take their word for it, basically, is what I got, was that they say, like, oh, my wife's cool with it, and so this is why, you know, we can proceed. And you're like, sure. And my question was like, well, how do you know for sure? Like, even though you're, right, you have every intention of not bringing any drama to his doorstep, what guarantees you that they're
that
not going to bring
not
it?
Snooping
and
it's, it,
and then,
right,
and then somebody's going to be knocking on your door or in your phone and your mentions.
Right.
And then, you know, and I see how it could be. Maybe what my wife had on. I just saw how many ways it could be problematic. And
right.
Even, you know, that
and
was
so
the thing.
We had the conversation, and I told her, I mean, I know that I've been attacked as far as, well, karma this and karma that, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't look for that. And I literally sat here and told Danny, I was like, I mean, to me, that's kind of on the husband. And it's wrong for me, yes. I mean, and I could sit here and say morally wrong in the sense of monogamy and what we're taught in our culture and society today. Mm-hmm. However, I also have pinned it to me having dealt with Africans and them having being able to have a plethora of wives, mm-hmm, and all the wives knowing and all the girlfriends knowing about each other the same. They in different religions and in different parts of the, mm-hmm, world, which I've been able to travel, this is something that is normal. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is my karma coming to me because I live in America? Is it coming to me because, and I don't conform to a religion. So I, you know, I do believe in a higher power and God, but the Christian values I don't follow. Mm-hmm. And so when I was talking to you about this, I kind of said these things, mm-hmm, like, you know, and I would love, Michelle is over there, you know, and I don't want to sit here and because I loved everything that Danny brought to me, like, well, this could hurt the wife. I know I would feel this way. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciated you being there to have that open dialogue with me, because I know that some of the things that I do say can be hurtful or, mm-hmm, have people, you know, raising their eyebrow like, yeah, what the fuck is this hoe ass bitch talking about? Like, she really believes her nonsense. And I do. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you hitting me. And I don't know. Did you have anything to say about that?
Well, I think I sit in a space where I've been on both sides of the fence.
Okay.
I had.
She was married at one point.
Yeah. Okay. I was in a domestic partnership as close to marriage as, mm-hmm, you can get. And I was, and the person cheated on me with a trans sex worker. Mm. And then in addition to that, I have had situations where I was a mistress to a married man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the betrayal I get,
yeah, mm-hmm,
the questions of safety,
yeah,
mm-hmm, like you stepping out on me and doing what, and, mm-hmm, how do I know you're being safe? And exactly, now you can. So that all went through my head, and then on top of that, you know, the married man was very unhappy, and, mm-hmm, it got to a point where they were calling me at crazy times. So to, mm-hmm, go to, like, I was like, yo, you can't kill yourself. You have two kids, and if I have to, I will call your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And tell her that you need help.
Right.
And so that was oftentimes when those situations arise, and whether now men who have open relationships and play
and
polyamory, that's different.
Each one is different.
But a written, like, permission this slip, girl.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a written.
Give me a video recording.
And
of
I'm
your
gonna
wife,
need to see a copy of the driver's, okay, license, like, to double back the signature.
Exactly.
But, like,
and so that's
something.
Another thing that I said. There's a lot of different. I guess. I don't want to say relationship. Well, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of different type of relationships and agreements that people have when they go into a bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do feel like it's not my responsibility to find out what bond these two people have.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I just want to appreciate, again, you, mm-hmm, for opening that up to me and really realizing that, listen, this nigga could be lying and maybe I could hurt somebody or could potentially tear apart a happy home. And it's, mm-hmm, not my intention ever. But again, it's kind of just like, I like to be as open as possible, and I expect the man to as well. And I think that the man vowed to the woman to hold that together.
Yes,
yeah, I know.
I think for me, my concern would be, you know, Mandy, you getting hurt.
Right.
And that's what I said to her. I was like, you know, my concern would be then it's just, again, like, it's just like if somebody, like, rolls up on you because, you know, you – sometimes it's like, I think it matters. Sometimes, like, due diligence. Like, you know, it's not your responsibility because you did make the vows. But I worry because if there's one thing, of course, if you meet somebody, he's single and he lies about being married. Mm-hmm. And there's another thing if he's saying I'm married, but she's okay with it. But then what proof do you have? And then
he ain't never going to leave her.
I don't want them to. No. And I don't have the expectation of them, mm-hmm, leaving. But that's what I'm saying. I think each is different. And I do just want the listeners to know that when I meet women that have different mindsets or aren't playing the mistress, because I have such a wide range of friends. Danny was able to open up that conversation to me and that dialogue, and we were able to share where each of us came from. And so I want the listeners to know that I'm not up here spewing ignorant shit and not listening, because I definitely, through this journey and through this podcast, I want us to continue learning and continue to bring these dialogues to people that aren't me or Weezy or me and Michelle or Danny and TJ and everyone who's listening, to talk about this with your friends, with your partners. I want to thank all of you guys for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
Where can they hear more from you guys? Again, do you want to drop?
You got it, kid.
Oh, my God. So Lovers Quarrel, you can is our podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, anywhere that you can listen to a podcast. We're on Instagram as Lovers Quarrel Show.
We'll be posting the information
for
all of you
guys.
Yes, and
you can follow us at Lovers Quarrel 7 on Twitter. TJ's better with Twitter than I am, though. So you'll see a lot of things from him. So
okay. Sometimes I got to put, like,
yeah,
you TJ. Do.
Oh, yeah, we started doing that, too. Sometimes we put M and W.
Yeah,
for
sometimes I don't agree with what he puts.
that's why I got to let people know it's me.
Yes, of course. And then, Michelle, you got what you got going on that these people need? Okay, February 19th, we know that.
Right.
Highline
Ballroom here in New York. February 20th is the book drop. So go pre-order Girls Guide to Sex Education. March 10th, if you are in the D.C. metro area, we doing a live podcast, Mind Over Matter. Thank you so much. We're partnering together for Women's History Month. Okay. And guess what we doing? We talking about sex. We talking about sexuality. Yep. But we also do an HIV testing. So you want to come out. Mm-hmm. You want to get tested.
And this is in D.C., correct?
Yes, D.C.
Nice.
Know your status. I'll be posting that. And then I got some other things coming up. But, you know,
And again, if y'all love Michelle like we do, y'all can follow her everywhere at MH Sexpert. Also, you guys can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, @horrible_decisions and @horriblepod. Also, this is your girl, Mandy B. Follow me at Full Court Pumps everywhere. Thanks again to all of our patrons. And I do also want to give a huge shout out if you guys are listening. Love the audio. If you guys like the video, we've been recording at Gotham Podcast Studio here on Church Street in New York City. So if you guys are looking to start a podcast as well, they're very, very, very affordable. Y'all know me and Weezy ain't got them coins like that. but they're very affordable. Check them out. We'll be putting their information as well in the description. So thank you guys. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.